What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you'll never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. And I'm going to apologize up front. I did not get any sleep last night at all, so I'm a little tired and fluffy-brained. My brain is on puree mode here. And so we're going to go through the news here and take the phone calls, and I hope a lot of people will call on in to help out with the show here a little bit today. Getting into the news here, as you know, yesterday, Dianne Feinstein released, or leaked, if you prefer, the transcript of the testimony of the founder of Fusion GPS before congressional investigators, which angered a great many people. And apparently Feinstein thought that this was going to harm Donald Trump. But as it turns out, people have gone through the transcript now, and it turns out there is still, in that transcript, no evidence of any collusion between Trump and Russia. It's all about how this dossier was being passed back and forth, which we know was completely discredited. So, again, a big nothing burger with extra cheese. It's amazing how this stuff works here. Now, the former FBI assistant director has come out with a comment. It's being quoted all over the net right now, saying that there is no question the Clinton Foundation is a criminal conspiracy. We've had reports coming out in the last few days basically saying it was a money laundering. It was a money laundering operation for the Clintons and their friends. And we had that anonymous FBI source who was posting to the web saying that almost everybody inside the Beltway was dirty from this, using it to hire money or to hide money that they didn't want to have subject to tax. So big stink over there. It needs to be investigated. At the very least, it should lose its tax-exempt status, because to have the status of a tax-exempt foundation, you have to donate 51% of your money to charity, and the Clinton Foundation comes nowhere near that. They were down in the single digits, donating to a little bit of charity, usually in front of media cameras to make it look good. But they don't really qualify for a 501c3, and that exemption should be revoked retroactively. That would make the Clintons personally liable for taxes on all that money. Now, apparently the House chairman has asked Paul Ryan to declassify all of the Department of Justice and FBI documents related to the Russian dossier and how it was used to justify a FISA warrant. And yeah, this is big. This is very big. Because if the FISA warrants were based on fraudulent data, which we know the dossier was, then anything acquired under the warrant is inadmissible at the very least. Now, there's a story that was going around from Investment Watch blog. Sessions indicts Clinton after Huma Abedin charged for lying to FBI about Wiener emails. The headline is overblown. I couldn't find confirmation that there's an actual indictment, but there is no question that Huma Abedin did in fact lie to the FBI about classified emails on her and her estranged husband's Wiener's laptop. They found at least 18 on there that anybody knows about, and I'm sure they're still going through them. And she said she did not back up her emails to the laptop, which obviously she did. She lied under oath. That's perjury. So there should be an indictment. There isn't yet that I can find, but there should be an indictment, definitely. All righty. Now, as you know, the deep state still wants to get rid of Donald Trump. This whole Russiagate thing, they've had a year to try and push this. They've gained no traction with it whatsoever. And so now apparently they're trying a plan B. They're going to a backup plan. And apparently Representative Brendan Boyle from Pennsylvania has introduced a new bill into Congress requiring presidential candidates to undergo full medical exams and release the results to the public. It's called the Stable Genius Act. And supposedly it's in response to claims made in Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury, saying that the president, Trump, is not mentally stable. Now, this is a little pathetic, if you ask me. It's a little pathetic here. But they do have an area of concern, which is that Donald Trump's father, Frank, succumbed to Alzheimer's disease, and Donald Trump himself is 71 years old. And he's getting into that area where he could be getting into that. We know that Ronald Reagan, during his second term in office, was dealing with Alzheimer's disease and wasn't very functional. George Bush Sr. was actually running most of the show out of the White House. So there is a possibility there. In the past, political parties had always insisted that their main candidates undergo a medical exam and an evaluation to make sure they were going to be able to do the job. Obviously, they didn't do that with Hillary Clinton last year. But in this case, this is clearly politically motivated. They're still trying to find a way to get Donald Trump out of that Oval Office because he cannot be relied on to maintain the cover-ups on all the crime and corruption that has been going on year after year after year. Okay, we're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Getting on back to Congress, just moments after Trump requested a tough primary for California Senator Dianne Feinstein for leaking that Fusion GPS interview, he's losing a Republican from California. Daryl Issa, who happens to be the richest member of Congress on a civil service salary, figure that one out, he's announced he's going to retire. He's not going to seek re-election. So he's going to be leaving the Congress here as well. Now, as you know, down in Virginia, they had a House of Delegates race that was so close. It was a tie. It was an absolute dead tie. And it came down to a bowl drawing where they put the two candidates' names in a bowl and they picked one out. And the Republican won. And the Democrat went to court saying this is not fair. The appeals court has now ruled saying that, yes, in the event of an absolute dead tie in the election, the bowl drawing is perfectly legal. So that is pretty much that. Okay, there is a gentleman, James Dolan. He's a software engineer, and supposedly he has committed suicide at the age of 36. Now, he was one of the people who created SecureDrop, which was a sort of WikiLeaks clone where you could post information, if you were a whistleblower, anonymously. And the other creator of SecureDrop and Reddit co-founder Aaron Swartz supposedly, he died 5 years ago to the very day. So maybe James Dolan's life was really going wrong. Or maybe there is now a covert attack on anybody who's creating any kind of a system that would challenge the deep state in their surveillance of the internet or their secrecy against the American people. But there are too many suspicious deaths, and we all should be very, very concerned here. Now, getting on back to the Golden Globes, as you know, there was this supposed protest against sexual harassment at the Golden Globes. Everybody was wearing black. The set was draped in black. and Oprah Winfrey came on out and made a 9-minute speech on the issue. But none of the actual accusers of Harvey Weinstein were invited. And now Juanita Broderick has come forward mentioning that none of the people of the Golden Globes, especially Oprah Winfrey, mentioned her name, because sexual harassment and sexual assault exists outside of the film industry. And it does make it look like the Golden Globes protest of sexual harassment was little more than public relations and damage control. And they don't want to really deal with the problem. They just want to make it look like they're dealing with the problem, a lot like Congress tends to do. Over in New York, State Assemblywoman Pamela Harris has been indicted on 11 counts of fraud and tampering. And she's a Democrat. Not that the Republicans are any better. But basically, it turns out, again, taxpayer money was involved. And it does seem like there's an epidemic of these indictments coming. And that's a good thing. We should clean house. But it is a reminder that the kind of individual who seeks these positions of power and authority, it is the curse of political power, that it attracts the very sort of people who should never be allowed to have it. And that is a major problem. I almost think that in the future, at some point, there ought to be a system for finding leaders that simply goes on out and looks at ordinary Americans and just selects the very best people who could do the job, and they get drafted into these positions of member of Congress or the president, even if they don't want to be there. But we find the very best administrator, somebody who's altruistic, who's really thinking about the welfare of the nation itself, and you grab them and you put them in the Oval Office and you say, here, you are sentenced to 4 years in the Oval Office. And if you do a really good job, we're going to extend that to 8 years. And you just say, this is your job. We need you to run the country. And we take all those people who want to be members of Congress and want to be the president, and we just put them out on a reservation out there in the West someplace where they can live and argue with each other and be happy and pleasant. Because people want these positions because they can profit from them through corruption. I mean, if you look at how much money gets raised and spent for a campaign for Congress or the White House versus how much they actually get paid for the job, it's obvious that they're there for something much larger than that paycheck. And you look at some of the members of Congress, how wealthy they have become over the years, and you realize it can't possibly have been done just with the money they're paid for their salaries. It just doesn't make any sense at all. So, okay. Now then, let's get into the war zones. A lot of wars going on. Here a war, there a war, everywhere a war, war, E-I-E-I-O. Over in Syria, the militants' defense has collapsed in southern Idlib. The Syrian Arab Army, the Tiger Forces, and allies are advancing in the Abu al-Duhur Air Base area in southern Idlib and have liberated a bunch of villages, Jakusia, al-Rajan, Miraya, Tamak, Mial, al-Adelia, and others from the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which was formerly known as Jabhat al-Nusra, the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. They're always changing their names over there. According to pro-government sources, the Syrian Arab Army also started a bombing campaign against positions of Hayat Tahrir al-Sham in the airbase itself, and the Tiger Forces attacked militant positions in its vicinities. So if the Syrian army keeps up the current pace of the advance, it will reach Abu al-Duhur within the next 2 to 3 days. So basically, the Syrian government forces and their allies are winning this war, and the U.S.-backed rebels are losing. And the U.S. doesn't want to admit its loss. It'll pull out the rug underneath the much larger policy of dollariferizing the entire Middle East, and basically kill the momentum for this program. So we can count on the United States government to just keep pouring resources into Syria, not because they think they can win. They just don't want to admit that they've lost, either in Syria or Afghanistan. Now, the other day, we were reporting on this first-of-a-kind coordinated drone attack against one of the Russian air bases that are inside Syria with the permission of the Syrian government. The Russians are allowed to be there. The U.S. is not. And apparently, it's now come on out that there was a United States reconnaissance aircraft, a spy plane, that was circling overhead during this drone attack. So it's beginning to look like maybe the drone attack was something that was put together by the U.S.-backed rebels with U.S. support. And it's a very risky thing to do. The U.S. directly, militarily confronting Russia, we could see a major war just erupt from that. It's a real game of brinksmanship. Now, during the Cold War, the 50s and 60s, yes, the U.S. and Russia were sort of fighting each other in these third world locations. It was all proxy wars. But a direct confrontation, that is to be avoided. We came dangerously close during the Cuban Missile Crisis. But right now, it seems like U.S. military policy is getting more and more reckless all the time. And they are risking a major confrontation, which I don't think the U.S. can win. Over in Afghanistan, a video has surfaced showing U.S. Special Forces basically committing a war crime. And the video shows a military truck passing a civilian truck on a paved road at normal speed. And a U.S. soldier fires directly, intentionally, at the driver of the civilian truck without any discernible reason. And that is a war crime. You're not supposed to be out there just gunning down the civilians at random. And so this video is causing a huge amount of embarrassment for the U.S. government, and certainly is providing fodder to people saying that maybe it's time for the United States to get out of Afghanistan entirely. Now, the U.S. at this point is controlling the cities in Afghanistan. They are not controlling the countryside, especially out toward the east, where all the mountains are, which is where the Soviet Union bogged down and was unable to accomplish anything. Afghanistan has a very bad reputation. It's called the graveyard of empires. And a lot of countries have got in there, and they have met with disaster. The last military commander to conquer and successfully control Afghanistan was Alexander the Great, and he only kept it for 3 years. I really do think it is time for the United States to get out of there. I think it's time for the United States to call up this war agenda. They're not succeeding. They're spending huge amounts of money. They're impoverishing the American people. Our country is being neglected. All of our tax money is going to these military adventures, which are producing nothing. I think it's gone on long enough, and I think it's time for Americans to stand up and say, enough is enough. 17 years of war. It's time to bring our soldiers back on home. It's time to bring our money back on home and start working on building up our country again. Repair the roads, repair the rails, repair the bridges, restore the factories, and start the path back to being a manufacturing superpower, which we used to be. We are no longer, of course. Now, getting back to Afghanistan, apparently there was a program to revive the Afghan economy, and they too are missing a bunch of money. Over $500 million has gone missing, and they don't know where it went to. We're going to do a quick break for commercials here. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443, and we will be right back. We'll be right back. We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So apparently more than $500 million has gone missing in Afghanistan from the Pentagon program to revive their economy. And it's hardly a unique occurrence. We saw exactly the same thing over in Iraq, where the U.S. was delivering cash over there following the war, literally on pallets. Wooden pallets stacked with cash, wrapped in plastic, and a lot of it just vanished. And I think to the average American taxpayer, they're going to find that a little bit upsetting. Now, over in Iran, things appear to be changing just a little tiny bit. And we're starting to see some waffling back and forth on this idea of ending the nuclear deal, and even the sanctions relief. And it appears Congress will not have a plan to improve the Iran deal ready by this Friday, when the waiver of U.S. sanctions against the Iranian regime is set to expire. Now, the original P5+1 deal was Iran would end its nuclear program, the U.S. would lift the sanctions. But the U.S. basically has the sanctions still in place, but under waiver which is why every once in a while the president has to recertify that Iran is in compliance. And the fact that there is no plan from Congress to change the Iran deal may force Donald Trump's hand. He may have to recertify the deal because Iran is in compliance. The IAEA is over there inspecting all the time, and they continue to report that Iran is keeping their word about the deal. So now we're seeing pressure coming in from SecDef Mattis, SecState Tillerson, and National Security Advisor McMaster to basically say there needs to be a new accord regarding Iran's ballistic missile program and push the sanctions on that. Now, the reason that Iran wants ballistic missiles, and it's not clear still whether they wanted nuclear weapons or not, these are weapons of deterrence. These are weapons that are in existence to convince other nations to leave you alone. And Iran has every right to have them. Every nation has every right to have them, even North Korea. The reason the United States is trying to bring pressure onto countries to surrender nuclear programs and long-range ballistic missiles is to reduce the cost of an eventual invasion. Iran knows this. North Korea knows this. We know this. And again, you need to look back at that track record of the United States. They went in and told Libya, surrender your nuclear program, which was in its very earliest stages, and we will leave you alone. And Libya surrendered their nuclear program. They shut it down, and the U.S. invaded. The U.S. told Saddam Hussein, surrender your chemical weapons, we'll leave you alone. And Saddam did surrender his chemical weapons. The United Nations verified it, and the U.S. invaded. The U.S. told Bashar al-Assad in Syria, surrender your chemical weapons, we'll leave you alone. Assad surrendered his chemical weapons under supervision of the Russian deal brokered by Putin, and the U.S. still invaded. So everybody knows what's going on here. The U.S. is trying to disarm everybody with the goal of ultimately invading them at low cost, because invasion doesn't make any sense if it costs you more than you're going to gain from the invasion. So I think Iran is probably going to put their foot down about the ballistic missile issue. They need to protect their country. They need to protect their country from being invaded. And I think more and more countries are realizing that the United States cannot be trusted in any of the promises that they've made. And disarmament is just an absolutely foolish thing to do. Now, getting on over to Pakistan, as you know, we're seeing all of a sudden these antagonistic provocations by the United States against Pakistan, beginning with the cutting off of funding, followed by the insults from Donald Trump that Pakistan has just returned lies and deceit for that $30-plus billion that have been given them over the last 15 years. And it does look like all of a sudden, for whatever reason, Pakistan is in the crosshairs. So Pakistan is now responding, and they have suspended all military and intelligence cooperation with the United States. And basically, it was announced by Defense Minister Khurram Dastgir Khan at a speech at the Institute of Strategic Studies in Islamabad just yesterday. So things are going from bad to worse. International relations are on the decline. The United States seems to be making enemies all over the globe. Very few friends. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And there's an interesting little article over in MondoWeiss.net. If you genuinely back the Palestinian cause, you have to support the right of return. Now, what that basically means is when the United Nations accepted the new nation of Israel as a member, there were two conditions that were placed on that membership. And the first one was a right of return, that the Palestinians had a right to go back to their homes and villages that were basically overrun during the creation of the nation of Israel. And the second condition was that if the Palestinians, of their own free will, chose not to go back to their homes, they would be financially compensated for their lost properties. Israel, of course, has not complied with either one of those conditions to this very day here. But again, along with simply recognizing the state of Palestine that they're trying to create, the Palestinians do have a right of return recognized by the United Nations, and that should be supported. And apparently, this is an issue which is at the forefront of a lot of the friction between Israel and Palestine. And, of course, Israel doesn't want the Palestinians to come back. They want the Palestinians to go away, go to some other country. and it's causing a great deal of friction. Now, over in Korea, it looks like, thankfully, tensions are pulling back at least for the moment. North Korea and South Korea are talking. North Korea is going to send athletes to the Olympics in South Korea next month. That's a good thing. The two Koreas would like to reunify. They call it the Sunshine Policy. And South Korea's current president is very much in favor of that. 5 years ago, they were on the verge of reunifying until some outside meddling came on in. But South Korea's President Moon Jae-in is basically crediting Donald Trump for the North Korea talks, saying that the pressure put on North Korea has brought them to open the dialogue there and improve ties between the two Koreas. And he is warning that if the talks fail and if North Korea resumes weapons tests, that there will be more sanctions. So there's a little bit of an iron fist inside that velvet glove. I'd like to see the two Koreas reunify and settle their differences. North Korea has the resources. South Korea has the industry. They could actually be a very wealthy nation if they reunified here. Now, a lot of people are talking about Donald Trump's new nuclear posture. Basically, the Trump administration is expected to reveal a new doctrine which basically expands the cases in which nuclear weapons would be used, including conventional attack. If the United States is attacked with non-nuclear weapons, they would respond with nuclear weapons. And apparently, the new doctrine will allow for the development of new warheads as well. So we're back to a weapons race, an arms race, with all of these horrible, horrible weapons. I remember at the peak of the Cold War, Russia and the United States had enough nuclear warheads where if they were detonated all at the same time, it really would end all life on Earth. And a lot of people were very concerned. There was even a movie made called On the Beach about what it would be like following a nuclear war when it was only a matter of time before the radiation got to you and killed you. And the movie is still around. Every once in a while it shows up on cable TV, and it's definitely worth watching. It takes place mostly in Australia, which is the last part of the Earth that is livable following this. And toward the end of the Cold War, of course, there were some treaties. In fact, even right after the near miss at the Cuban Missile Crisis, both the United States and Russia started pulling back, started pulling down the nuclear arsenals to a more reasonable level. Now it looks like the U.S. is starting to ramp it up again. And it didn't start with Trump. George W. Bush authorized the creation of new warheads and the overhaul, update, refurbishment of existing warheads. So it really is very, very dangerous. And at some point, there may be a disaster with nuclear weapons. And if it doesn't drive the human race to extinction, maybe there'll be a lesson learned and humanity will say no more of these. Because we really have reached the point where a single mistake can lead to our extinction. That's a very real possibility, and we ought to think about that here. All right, let's talk about the economic news a little bit. Sears is in serious trouble, and apparently they're trying to find some new financing. They're having trouble. Sears has been on the edge of bankruptcy for years now. And they're now admitting that, yes, indeed, this last holiday shopping season was disappointing. And we sort of knew that was going to be the case, despite all the brouhaha about a wonderful shopping season. Everybody's buying stuff. Get on out there, whip out the plastic, and buy all kinds of stuff. Didn't really work out. And Sears has started new discussions with lenders. They're trying to renegotiate terms on roughly $1 billion of non-first lien debt. And the debt concessions would be accompanied by another $200 million of cost cuts, which means store closings and layoffs of sales staff. Now, if you're my age, you will remember that Sears has been this major iconic retailer for all of our lives. They actually began as a mail order business, the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And you'd get the catalog and you'd look through it and you'd order stuff and it would be delivered, and they were very successful. And in the days before Playboy magazine, young boys would grab the catalog and look at the lingerie ads. And then, of course, they expanded into brick and mortar, and they've been very, very successful. They're an iconic American retailer, and they're at the edge of bankruptcy. And I think that tells you, as much as anybody else, how serious the economic problems are in this country when these iconic retailers are in this kind of trouble. The fact of the matter is that Chapter 11 bankruptcies have doubled from a year ago. So we are still in financial hard times. We know that there are roughly 100 million Americans who have not been able to find jobs for months, if not years. And that tells us the economy is in serious trouble. And all we get from corporate media and the government is everything's fine. Just go on out and buy stuff. They don't want you to realize how bad things are, because we know who did it. Wall Street, the money junkies. The money junkies have ruined the economy, and they don't want to be held to account for it here. The World Bank is out there saying that global economic growth has peaked. In other words, the World Bank is saying that we're maxed out. Remember, when they talk about growth in the economy, what they're talking about is the total aggregate debt. When they say the economy is growing, it means more debt is being generated. They use the word growth to make it sound like it's a good thing. And to the private central bankers, obviously, it is a good thing when people are going deeper into debt, because it means more interest payments. The World Bank is saying basically that everybody, it's maxed out. Nobody can go any further into debt, which is another reason why there's a big push for a global war. Because war forces government to borrow more to pay for the war. And when the war is over, nations have to borrow even more on top of that to rebuild from the war. War is the bankers' richest harvest of debt. Bankers love wars. So I wrote that article, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. Article coming out of Investment Watch blog, the economy is in the process of being reworked for the transition. And not sure where the transition is going to take us. We know they're pushing the cashless society, where the banks literally are holding all the money, and you have to ask for their permission via that little plastic card to get your food and other necessities for life. Apparently, GoPro, which makes those cute little wonderful cameras, they're cutting 250 employees. Regis is closing 600 salons in Walmart. We mentioned that the other day. Unfortunately, too many American people believe the economy is improving, despite the obvious signs to the contrary. And they're charging like crazy. They're maxing out their credit cards. Personal savings are in a decline. They're living totally on debt. And that's a bad thing. I was at the supermarket the other day watching people buying their groceries on a credit card. Not a debit card, a credit card. That's not healthy. That is not healthy. I think we need to get back to cash and carry. It's the way Claire and I live, cash and carry. We want to have our money in our hands as cash. We want to pay for our food with cash. We want to pay for whatever with cash. It's simple. We know how much we've got. We don't go over our budget. Our budget is what we've got in the pocket for that day. When it's gone, it's gone. We stop buying. Right now, the median family net worth is below 1989 levels. The debt-to-money ratio for the average family is the worst since 1962. These are not good numbers. We're clearly an empire that is in decline. Now, there is a report coming out of government sources saying that the United States is going to pull out of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. And as a result of this report, both the loonie and the peso have dropped. It appears to be a knee-jerk response, but apparently Reuters has come on out saying that, yes, the U.S. is going to get out of the North American Free Trade Agreement. I think that's a good idea, and that's because I'm a nationalist. I think there should be separate sovereign nations all over the globe with protected borders for the same reason that you have fireproof doors in a building and watertight bulkheads in a ship. I'm definitely an anti-globalist. I'm sure that's not a surprise to any of you there. But I think it would be a good idea to get out of NAFTA. Go back to just running this country for the benefit of this country. Right now, world debt is rising nearly three times as fast as total global wealth. Now, that is really out of control. Now, we understand that under the model of private central banking, by design, debt growth outpaces the money supply growth. But three times, that is a danger signal right there. And it may be because of too many failed business ventures, too much speculation, too much derivatives, but world debt is rising three times as fast as total global wealth. Fact of the matter is it can never be paid off. It ought to be just written off. If the money junkies would just let go of this idea that they're ever going to be able to collect all this debt, because they won't, just write it off, zero it out, and all the economies of all these nations would instantly revive. It would be an instant restart. It would be a global jubilee. Now, globally, there is a debt load of $291 trillion, and it raises the question of whether bond yields will rise this year. Everyone's always talking about bonds, government bonds, banker bonds, and so forth. Oh, it'll always rise, it'll always go up. I remember when I was a kid, the big thing was savings bonds. You bought savings bonds from the government, and they would always be expected to rise. Well, with this debt load that's saddling the entire globe, that may no longer be possible unless we get into hyperinflation. And unfortunately, sadly, that is always the last step before a collapse, is they'll try to inflate all debts away. We owe you this many $1 trillion. All right, let me crank up that printing press here. We'll just crank that. There's the $1 trillion. Go away and be happy. Not really a solution, of course. It's a stopgap measure. Gold, however, is doing very well right now. All the metals are doing well, but specifically gold is basically at an all-time high when denominated in eight major emerging market currencies. And it's actually seeing a stronger performance than when priced in the U.S. dollar or the euro. Or the British pound. So hang on to your gold. Hang on to your silver. Hang on to your platinum. Hang on to your tantalum. That's a commodity. It's an item with intrinsic value. And in a world of fiat paper currencies with no commodity base, anything with an intrinsic value becomes a storage of your wealth. Now, real estate has been in trouble. There's been another real estate bubble. There's been a rental bubble. We're talking about, especially San Francisco, it's insane, the rents that are there. I mean, Claire and I are living here in Hawaii. We pay lower rent on our home than you would pay for an equivalent property in Los Angeles or San Francisco. It's just insane. And apparently, real estate prices, rental prices are now so high that people are taking steps to avoid it. They're getting roommates. Millennials are staying with their parents into their 30s. And as a result, real estate is starting to wane. And that may be another bubble about to burst. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, there's an interesting little article that came out of womensystems.com, and it points out that there are two issues covering the story. First is that 15 states are economically failing big time, And we've been hearing it. We know how bad things are in Illinois. California is desperate for money. They're spending huge amounts on the illegal immigrants. They're not really getting revenues for things like water usage by Nestle. This welfare state isn't working on out, because eventually the fatal flaw with the Democratic liberal platform is eventually they run out of other people's money to spend. And that's what's going on. But the other problem is that the modern educational system, which is more about indoctrination than education, is not actually preparing students to properly manage money. They're being educated to be obedient consumers, and that's drastically different from when I was in school, lo, those many years ago, when we were taught basically to manage our money, to not buy things we didn't need, to have a savings account, to save for a rainy day. And that's all apparently vanished from the education system in order for retail corporations, corporations in general, to harvest more wealth from the people, to have them living perpetually in debt. When I was a kid, being in debt for anything other than your house and your car was considered a bad thing. People didn't use credit cards to buy their food, or even their clothes was cash and carry. But personal finance was considered a major subject of education, and not anymore, apparently. There we are. Now, the Trump administration has waived part of the punishment for five banks whose affiliates were convicted for manipulating global interest rates. One of the waivers of punishment was granted to Deutsche Bank, which is owed at least $130 million by President Donald Trump's business empire. It's also been fined for its role in a Russian money laundering scheme. So there's a black mark on President Trump right there, where he's basically given the bank that he owes money to a get out of jail free card. A lot of shady things going around Deutsche Bank. A lot of suspicious deaths, including somebody that I personally knew. Those bankers, they're not really the nice people that they'd like you to think they are. Not one tiny bit. All right. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back after these few words. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443.
Or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.